The views and opinions expressed by A Little Bit Culty are those of the hosts and don't reflect the official policy or position of the podcast, right, Sarah?
Correct.
Any of the, quote, fire content, I prefer lava content, provided by our guests, blogger, sponsors, or authors are the opinion and are not intended to malign a religion, a group, a club, an organization, business individual, anyone or anything, unless, Sarah?
You're a douchebag.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Also, we're not doctors, psychologists, or wizards. We're just two non-experts trying to make you a friendly, informative podcast based on our experience that we've turned into wisdom.
Okay. Good talk.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Sarah Edmondson here.
And I'm Anthony Ames, a.k.a. Nippy, Sarah's husband, and you're listening to
A Little Bit Culty,
a.k.a. ALBC. A podcast about what happens when devotion goes to the dark side.
We've been there and back again. A little about us. True story. We met and fell in love in a cult. And then we woke up and got the hell out of Dodge.
And the whole thing was captured in the HBO docuseries The Vow, now in its second season.
I also wrote about our experience in my memoir, Scarred, the true story of how I escaped NXIVM, the cult that bound my life.
Look at us, a couple of married podcasters who just happen to have a weekly date night where we interview experts and advocates in things like cult awareness and mind control.
Wait. This does not count toward date night, babe. We got to schedule that. That's separate.
So it's 2 days we got to hang out?
We do this podcast thing because we learned a lot on our exit ramp out of NXIVM, still on that journey, and we want to pay the lessons forward with the help of other cult survivors and whistleblowers.
We know all too well that culty things happen. It happens to people every day across every walk of life. So join us each week to tackle these culty dynamics, everywhere from online dating to megachurches and multi-level marketing.
This stuff really is everywhere. The cultiverse just keeps on expanding, and so are we. Welcome to Season 5 of A Little Bit Culty, serving cult content and word salads weekly on your favorite podcast platforms. Learn more at alittlebitculty.com. Hey, Sarah Nippy here. Hello, Cultiverse.
Welcome to our little weekly-ish check-in recap roundup of culty news and views. Dude, I would suck as like a Tom Brokaw.
You have to get practice.
Look, we can look back on this and look at how much better I got at it, right?
I do feel that if you look at our original episodes from season one, we've grown.
I'm embarrassed.
A little bit embarrassed. Yeah. And I'm really proud. Like, we've gotten in our timeline, Evan Rachel Wood's episode.
I'm just joking.
I know. Evan's episode dropped. And that's been so great to interact with people, to see how her episode has touched people. And it certainly did for me, as I think that was obvious in the interview. A couple people wrote feeling annoyed that we didn't go into her story and they didn't know what we were talking about. We partly assume that most of our audience would know her story because of the niche that we're in, which is not a fair assumption because I'm sure many people haven't seen the documentary. But also, you can watch the documentary and get caught up. We personally felt that we didn't want to do our normal format with Evan. You know, how did you get in? How did you get out? How are you healing? Because she did it in Phoenix Rising.
Yeah.
And it's laid out so clearly. And if you don't know, it's really easy to watch the series.
But here's what you can do. You can go to one of the, I think it's HBO,
yeah,
right? That aired it?
Max.
Is that common?
If you don't have HBO Max.
The ecosystem of content now is more confusing than it was with cable.
So I wish it would just merge into one platform.
Whoever comes up with that app.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You can watch it. And I highly recommend watching it, but I also recommend preparing yourself emotionally. I had to watch it in about five sections because I had to stop.
It was three episodes, right?
Yeah, but I had to I couldn't even get through an episode. It was so upsetting in a good way, okay. I guess. Like, it's a good documentary. It was just hard to watch.
Marilyn Manson trolls, fuck off.
Put your anger somewhere else.
Just park it there. We don't have to give them much more attention. They just go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a little something from the cultiverse.
Oh, yeah. Do tell.
I'm going to hearken us back to a day.
Yeah.
Call it 2015-ish. Keith Raniere, a.k.a. Van Douche, is doing one of his little forums, and he's talking about, character.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually boasting about himself, how he knows that there's no one that can fuck with his insides.
Because he's such a...
Because he's
so enlightened.
Who he is, and he knows because of all the adversities experienced, he knows his character and what it's made of.
Right.
Right? And he likened himself to a martyr. And the martyr was, I think he called it St. Ignatius in the training, but it was really St. Lawrence. And St. Lawrence, so when he refused to yield to the Roman Empire.
This is St. Lawrence, not
Keith. Yes, yes.
Just to be clear.
Thank you. He was being burned on one side, and he looked up at his perpetrators and said, "Turn me over, I'm done." And Keith likened himself to that kind of person.
In other words, not get me off the stake, I'm burning, right. But
I'll say whatever you need me to say.
Blah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You'll never fuck with me because I'm so strong. Turn me over.
Yeah,
I'm done on this side.
That's the subtext.
Oh, wasn't it, turn it over, I'm done on this side?
Turn me over, I'm done.
On this side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Meaning like he's being flipped like a steak.
Yeah.
Here we are, 2022, where little Keithy boy, convicted leader of Nexium cult, Keith Raniere, has fought a lawsuit with his lawyers claiming he was attacked by a fellow prisoner and sex offender before being wrongly punished for the incident. Raniere was dizzy for days.
Dizzy for days,
were you, Keith?
Oh, so dizzy.
Suffered nausea and dizziness for a week after the attack, which also left him with black eye and swelling. Turn me over, I'm done.
I wish you could see the face that Nippy's making right now.
Dude.
But he's a judo champ. How did he let this happen to him?
Dude, just don't even. Nonviolence, I guess. I guess he's in a real pickle, huh? Can't use his judo champion skills because he believes in nonviolence.
Yeah.
So complicated that, Keith.
He really is. He will be studied for years to come.
Not by me.
Only feeding his ego internally.
Okay.
Into the 120 years.
I also want to do a shout out.
Oh, yeah?
To Loretta Lynn.
Oh, tell me about Loretta Lynn.
90 years old. She was, you guys might remember her as the coal miner's daughter, played by Sissy Spacek. In the 1970 film. And it was one of the films my dad rented when we first had a VCR. And I was thought Loretta Lynn was pretty cool. And then I found out that she and another person recorded a song called "You're the Reason Our Kids Are Ugly." And she recorded that with...
This is a major dragnet.
Conway.
No, this is not interesting. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Conway Twitty. I'm paying homage to Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter.
Is that how is it part of the cultiverse?
It's not. It's paying homage to someone.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad day. You're the reason our kids are ugly. It's a great song, sir.
I just want to loop back to Raniere for a second, because in the article that I pulled up about that incident, he said, "I was assaulted while walking to a table with my food in the dining hall. I did not fight back," unquote.
Should have.
He should have. People have been talking about that and asking us how we feel. Listen, karma's a bitch.
Reap what you sow.
Reap what you sow. Cause and effect.
How do you author it?
The other thing I was going to bring up about the cultiverse is that apparently, and maybe we'll do an episode on this, but someone just sent us a link. Erica Hicks, thank you. Big, big supporter of us on the social meds, sent us a link about celestial seasonings. So we don't have to get into the whole thing now, but I think most people know, and we'll do another deep dive about the Kundalini community, WH3HO, and they have the tea, Yogi Tea, and apparently that supports the company that is behind the alleged abuser, Yogi Bhajan. And this is another tea that is linked to a cult. Celestial Seasonings, Sleepy Time Tea, which I haven't been doing recently, but when I was a teenager and young adult was my favorite tea. Little did I know that I was apparently supporting an alleged cult that believes in aliens and eugenics. So that's my news from the cultiverse.
So you've been more cults?
I mean, the list of the cults I have brushed by grows on the dale.
Okay.
That's for the day. That's short for daily.
Yeah, sure is.
So do you want to play some...
Yeah, let's go to the videotape.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I wanted to ask you something, as I see you as my cult whistleblowers experts. So I'm currently together with my friends from the cult, and we are now in the process of exposing the cult. We experience many threats and humiliations, as well as trauma memories, and we try to deal with normal life, children, and work. And I wanted to ask you, if you were to go back, what are the 3-4 things that you think are important to do in exposing a cult? What would you do differently? If you have any advice, are there any tips you could recommend us to speed up the process? It is a long process that we have been in for over a year, and our energies are starting to run out. So if you have any tips on how to speed the process or to make it more efficient and effective, we'd love to hear it. We want the truth to come out, and those people will go to jail. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. I think that's a really good question, and I want to address it because a number of people have reached out more privately just to get advice on the process, and I definitely have some thoughts about what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, I would need more information, but if media is an option, exhaust right. all avenues via media.
And I think it is important to go to the authorities first. It's just, it's not always going to, depending on where you live and how how well-versed people are in issues like coercive control, which we are going to do an episode coming up on that soon with an expert on the topic, so stay tuned. You know, like when we went to the authorities, we don't know if they just didn't know what they were looking at or they were being bought off.
Yeah.
And time will tell.
A little bit of both.
Or maybe both.
Yeah.
Because they certainly, and multiple facets of the authorities, the local police, the victim support unit.
Once it got kicked to a higher office.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if we just went to the wrong place or it was like.
Well, it got filed in the lower district.
Yes. And then as most people know, then we went to the New York Times, and that article is what sparked the investigation in a different district in New York. So in our case, we were
lucky.
We were lucky in a lot of different ways. Things lined up for us that, you know, we're not in litigation for decades and the right people are behind bars, in our opinion, but it doesn't always turn out that way for people. I mean, there's a number of experts who've said they followed our case and they were just so amazed that the judge understood what he was looking at.
He got educated.
He got educated. But I think the advice I would say based on our experience is, well, first of all, if you're like getting out of a call, you have to heal is one thing. And like some people go into advocacy too quickly.
Well, they're also in the middle of trying to get out of it.
Yes. Mary was saying she's out of it and she doesn't know if she wants to whistleblow or if I have any tips. But I'd say, you know, connecting with somebody like Yanya Lalich, and she's got an incredible workshop. We'll put that in our show notes. And making sure that you heal or read her book. I think Nippy and I threw ourselves into it because we were, at least, well, I won't speak for you, I was trying to right the wrong of being a recruiter and being such an advocate of NextGen or executive success programs for so long. So on the other side of it.
I had a family and that was pretty important to like be good for our kids.
And, but I think that a lot of people don't have the energy to speak out about something right away as they're healing.
For sure.
And who was it? Handsome football cult.
Hoyt.
Hoyt, thank you.
Hoyt Richard.
Hoyt, that's my summary of you. Handsome football
thank
cult.
You. Thank you. Carry on.
Hoyt said to us, like early on, like you really don't want to be processing your trauma on film. And we certainly were. And that's what the vow captured, and or processing your trauma on tape, which is what Josh Block captured in Escaping NextGen, the precursor to all of this.
Well, I mean, we're kind of thrown into a fight.
Yeah, but like—
dragged into a fight that they've turned into, we're the perpetrators.
Yeah. So I think that in retrospect, you know, I almost wouldn't do anything differently because I'm happy with where we are now. But another, you know, if I was to give people advice, I'd say make sure you're getting the therapy that you need along that journey and really think about if you have the strength to fight. It's a big fight. It certainly took away from our day-to-day and our family, but— now we get to reap the benefits. So I don't know. Any other thoughts?
Maybe just get organized with the people that you're with and get on the same page because you guys definitely need to be united in this.
That's
you can't
true.
Have any sort of like dissension. And if you're going to do something united, you have to put your differences aside.
Mm-hmm.
It's vital. And you're going to have to be like, Sarah, I mean, how many times did I talk you off of? Just let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Like, that's not the objective here. The objective is we have one person to free ourselves from.
Mm-hmm.
Be myopic on that. Once that's happened, you can reconcile whatever differences you had with the people inside. And, you know, everyone's in trauma, so it's going to be harder. And that's one of the things that allows the perpetrator to thrive is because he knows you're in trauma. He puts you there and he knows your capacity to perform under trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to press those buttons.
Yeah. And I think if there's people that are getting out of a cult, they've probably been divided because that's what the cult leader will do. So you got to get, like you said, Nippy, get united, maybe get a lawyer. You know,
and the only people that can hurt you are the people that were your former friends.
Right. And maybe even finding a media outlet. I mean, the New York Times is a big one, but if you look at some of the people who've written responsible articles about this stuff, like Eve Thomas, for example, is somebody who really sought to understand Coercive Control and Cults and wrote an incredible article for Elle Canada. Somebody like that, there's a number of journalists I would stay away from, or, you know, reaching out to somebody like Jennings Brown to do a podcast, or Josh Block, people who are journalists and understand what they're looking at and aren't going to ask you dumb questions like, well, why didn't you just leave? And that's a red flag. It's obvious to me. Never would happen to me, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's my thought on that question. And how do you feel about season 5 launching? That's what I want to know.
You know, it was strangely uneventful in a way that I anticipated it being a little bit more. It was partly because it was outshadowed by my son's 13-6 victory last night over the undefeated team. They're now 2-2. The Cougars go.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. I was actually more nervous for that than our drop.
And we had a pretty full day.
We were running everywhere. So it was a good day.
It was a good day.
We have great problems in our lives.
Yes.
Right?
Well, we're also so excited about this Patreon thing. We're trying to welcome everybody individually.
Oh, by the way, yes. You have no idea. Sarah and I were completely overwhelmed with the 20-plus people that signed up for Patreon on the first day. I mean, I don't know what to expect for this, but just to see that many people, that seems like a lot to me, 20 people.
I think it's more now even.
10 I would have been happy with. To know that there's people out there that were affected in that way and that would be willing to do that means everything. So Sarah says, Patreon's my bitch. Is that what you said?
Patreon's
your
bitch.
I'm going to make Patreon my bitch. I'm going to be on there as much as I can. I'm going to have the window open on my computer and I'll answer emails as quickly as I can. And
we hope we provide value there and that it's worth whatever you signed up for.
Just know that I'm in the car a lot and it might be Sarah typing, but it's me speaking.
from your heart?
From my heart. You'll say that. You can put heart. You'll make those things. Until I get my office, and right now our car is our office.
No, we don't even have a car. We're just living in a box, remember?
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I class hopped by the end of the episode. Anyway, no, just it means everything to us to see that. And it definitely gives us the fuel, validation, and encouragement to keep doing what we're doing. So thanks, everyone. Should I say we love you? Or is that a little bit too intimate?
I think we love them.
We love you.
I mean, it's a different kind of love. It's a love and appreciation. The support from strangers blows my fucking mind.
You get more support from strangers than you do from friends and family sometimes. It's true.
It's true.
It's a meme. Well, it's already a meme.
It's already a meme.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll send that to the meme queen.
Yeah. Hey there, listener. Hope you're enjoying this episode and that you're taking deep breaths when we cover the enraging stuff that cult jerks are up to. Let it out is in the yoga practice. Inhale positivity, exhale negativity. That's for you, Sarah. We got this. No hulking it out, all you little hulksters. And if you need some helpful resources on the topic of cult recovery, check out our website at alittlebitculty.com. And now, here's a brief message from our sponsors.
Sarah here.
And Nippy.
You've reached the A Little Bit Culty listener line.
Thanks for calling and letting us know what's on your mind and in your heart.
Aw.
My sensitive side. Now let her rip after the beep. You know what to do.
Hey, it's Sarah and Nippy. This is Eve from New Jersey. Thank you so much for all the advocacy work that you're doing. I think it's really important. I wanted to make a comment about the Evan Rachel Wood interview. First off, I loved Phoenix Rising. And one of the reasons I appreciate that documentary is because Evan does an excellent job at pinpointing exactly where Brian was abusive and defining that abuse of power. And people who are in those lifestyles, the gothic lifestyle, the queer lifestyle, it's our previous conversations about abuse and sexual fetishes often get very blurred, and we associate the lifestyle with the abuse. That used to be very evident. I know when I was growing up in the 80s and the 90s, you know, if you engaged in these kinds of lifestyles, those lifestyles in of themselves were abusive. And I think we need to do a better job culturally separating the two. There is a space to engage in sexual fetishes that's completely consensual and can even deepen the intimacy within a relationship. However, if we consistently compare abuse with a sexual fetish, as a result, the audience will come away thinking that any kind of sexual fetish will lead to abuse. And that in and of itself just isn't true. There, a documentary that does a really good job at separating the two is Camus Bell's documentary on Showtime called We Need to Talk About Cosby, where within all of the people that he interviewed, one of them was a sex educator. And the sex educator specifically pointed out that there is a space for somebody to engage in role play, to engage in more dominant submissive behavior, but in a completely consensual way. And I think we just need to talk about that a little bit more and discuss and educate people to clearly understand when something that could be consensual, when it turns to be non-consensual, identifying what that looks like. And I think that can be much more beneficial to a wider audience. Thank you so much for everything you do. I appreciate it.
What's up, guys? Long time listener, first time caller. Also, I'm from the ATL, so glad you people are headed back. Or for the first time for you, Sarah, you'll love it. Nippy, here's the deal. I cannot hear anyone say, you know, it's interesting, without thinking a total word salad is about to come. In conversations, when I'm talking with my friends, every time anyone says the word, it's interesting, 100% I hear you in my head. So thanks for all you guys are doing. Thanks for jumping into my mind throughout the regular day as people are having conversations and saying something's interesting. Love you guys. Support you so much. And you're my favorite podcast. Have a good one.
Hey, Sarah Nippy, it's Alison from Sydney, Australia. We've spoken before. Nippy, I know you like my accent. I just wanted to come to your voicemail to say thank you for sharing that episode with Eckhart. It was the best episode I've listened to. I know I say that about a lot of your episodes. It had a lot of moments in there with me, which will help with my educational piece for helping people that are leaving cults. The parts that resonated with me the most were when he was talking about, you know, why people join cults and how they get us in, but also the last 10 minutes of that conversation where Sarah, you asked a really valid question about businesses and businesses, how they turn into cults. That was really important for me because I'm starting a new branch of my business and I am opening a yoga studio. So I do have concerns about it becoming culty, and I know that we've spoken about this before, Sarah. So I was really grateful to hear his insights on that. And, you know, checking in on yourself is a big thing, right? To not make that my identity. So I've shared those thoughts with my husband and they'll all be in our business plan. And so thank you once again for everything you do. Keep producing, guys. It's gold medal stuff. Thank you.
Hi, Sarah and Nippy. It's Christine calling from Calgary. I just listened to Eckhart Part 1 and that's my mind exploding. I really liked your interview with him. I cannot wait for more. And I have been a longtime follower on and off throughout the years of Eckhart's work. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about people's reaction to Eckhart as your guest and being critical that he is a little bit culty. And it got me thinking about Eckhart's work, and sometimes the way he communicates is word salad-esque. And so the deeper you go into his work, the more it does seem to make sense. But I have to admit that there are times where I think it's a little too esoteric and it can leave the listener feeling like, what WTF, this is some other planet that this character's on, and therefore I don't trust him whatsoever. So that's the comment part. The question piece is around Sarah. When you met Eckhart in Vancouver, and I know he hangs around coffee shops and he's like quite visible in Vancouver, but then the fact that he was so open and willing to spend time with you over a number of years, and I just can't help but feel like that's some kind of divine intervention, or if you don't believe in that, the universe putting in front of you exactly what you need when you need it. And I wondered if you could comment further on that, because I know you're a little more woo than Nippy is, but perhaps you'd be willing to comment on air about the significance from your perspective of Eckhart popping up in your life and then becoming an ally for you and someone to work with as you are healing. Love you both. Keep up the good work. Keep kicking ass out there. Love your show. Bye.
Just to wrap the week, yeah. Evan's episode dropped, and I want to point out how I got out, posted on Instagram, and I want to share this with our listeners. It's a perfect example of how cultiness can fly under the radar, but so many aspects of the relationship are the same. Grooming, gaslighting, flying monkeys, physical sexual abuse, collateral, phobia induction, and sleep and food deprivation. And I did see some chatter and some conversations, which we love, on our Instagram, which can also go over to Discord now, if you're a member of Patreon, that somebody said they didn't see how they were the same and they've been in a cult and been sexually and physically abused by their partner, and they only saw a little bit of an overlap. And I think it's case by case.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm excited about this episode because it gets us out of the, you know, direct cult lane, but shows you where the cults are everywhere. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So those were our voice messages for the day. We'll have more over on Patreon. Let's end with a good and a bad review, shall we?
Oh, all right, let's do it.
Okay. So this is my favorite bad one that I've ever heard.
It's so good. It's so good. I get killed.
Here it is. It's LaGrange Mom, who said, stop the constant explaining. And this is so funny because this week we got feedback we didn't explain enough. So stop the constant explaining. Ditch nipple. He sounds like he's half asleep and useless to the content of the show.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you do sound sleepy sometimes, but
what's wrong with being half asleep?
Well, I mean, you might want to show up a little bit more awake, have a coffee.
Yeah.
But you're not useless. You're a key part of this.
And have you heard my voice?
It's like, honey.
Yeah. Ditch nipple?
Let's hear the five stars for Nippy.
Ditch nipple.
Let's hear the five stars.
No love for nipple, right? It's not my best feature, but there's no love for that.
You have very cute nipples, baby.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Here's the five stars from Robbie Silly, or Beasley.
Oh my gosh, Nippy's word salad was spot on today. Love the show. Helps my wife and I continue processing the cultic abuse we went through. Always healing. Keep it up. 3 exclamation points.
Also, you sounded a little bit sleepy when you said that.
Do you want to read it?
I think Nippy needs a coffee.
Do you want to read it in your peppiness?
The internet giveth and the internet taketh away.
Haven't I been saying that?
Keeps us grounded.
Haven't
you can't
I been
win
saying
them all.
That?
You can't win them all.
Haven't I been saying that?
The irony is that one of my issues, if you read my book, you'll know that they said I had like me disease, like I cared too much what people thought of me. My first time I ever had what's, quote, having my life issue elicited. Nancy said, you have the capacity to be a great leader, but you have to overcome your attachment to being liked. And nothing will ever help you other than being in the cover of New York Times, saying you were part of a sex cult and starting a podcast will make you overcome your like me attachment than those three things.
Yeah, but also, isn't your capacity to get people to like you one of the things that makes you a good leader?
So it's a conundrum.
Well, there's upsides and downsides
and also,
to everything.
Who's in jail right now and who's not?
Non sequitur, but fair enough.
So that's it. Again, join us for more of this on Patreon. And be sure to leave us a voicemail over littlebitculty.com/voicemail. And we might answer it on air very soon. Hit us up.
This is the golden age of cult recovery. The more we speak up and share our stories, the more we realize we are not alone. Your voice and your story can empower others. This is Sarah, and I'm proud to be a founding collaborator of the #IGotOut movement. Learn more at igotout.org.
Sinking down to the depths of the ocean.
Hope you liked this episode. Let's keep the conversation going and come hang out with us on Patreon, where we keep the tape rolling each week with special episodes just for Patreon subscribers and where we get deep into the weeds of unpacking every episode of The Vow.
And if you're looking for our show notes or some sweet, sweet swag or official ALBC podcast merch or a list of our most recommended cult recovery resources, visit our website at alittlebitculty.com.
And for more background on what brought us here, check out Sarah's page-turning memoir. It's called Scarred. True story of how I escaped Nexium, the cult that bound my life. It's available on Amazon, Audible, narrated by my wife, and at most bookstores.
A Little Bit Culty is a Talkhouse podcast and a Trace 120 production. We're executive produced by Sarah Edmondson and Anthony Nippy Ames, with writing, research, and additional production support by senior producer Jess Tardy. We're edited, mixed, and mastered by our rocking producer, Will Rutherford of Citizens of Sound. And our amazing theme song, Cultivated, is by John Bryant and co-written by Nigel Asselin. Thank you for listening.